Hello, I'm Roger Elliott of Uncommon Knowledge, and welcome to this audio insight from hypnosisdownloads.com on the three best ways to deal with failure and some of the worst. So, what is the best way to deal with failure? Of course, failure like beauty is sometimes in the eye of the beholder. I've known people who are what we might call maladaptive perfectionists, those who tend to see reality in all or nothing terms, who describe relative success as total failure just because one part of the experience wasn't perfect. For example, I met one woman who described her vacation as a total failure just because she'd argued with her husband on the way home. She was ready to describe the whole trip, which had been wonderful in many ways, as completely spoiled. A guy I went to school with got 96% of the questions right in a French test. He had exacting standards and felt he'd failed even though he came top of the class. He felt he should have got 100%. I got a much lower percentage of questions right, but felt I'd succeeded, as I'd done better than I expected. So we need, I think, to ascertain whether we're being reasonable when we tag something as a failure, and whether we then extrapolate and maladaptively generalize to feel our whole identity is one of being a failure. People can so quickly go from "I failed on that specific attempt" to "I'm a total failure as a human being," and this kind of emotionally driven cognitive error can, of course, corrode self-esteem. So the first questions to ask ourselves when dealing with failure are, is it a real failure? Am I being reasonable in my perception? And secondly, am I negatively globalizing from a specific failure to a general feeling that I fail at everything, or worse, that I'm a failure as a human being? And of course, failure, which can be defined as our endeavors not working out the way we wanted them to, may be due to all kinds of influences, including other people, or just bad luck. This isn't to pass all responsibility away from ourselves, just to recognize when some aspects of a perceived failure were outside of our influence. So if I take a test on a day I feel unwell, then that's a mitigating circumstance. I may still be upset about the perceived failure, but my level of self-blame can be assuaged by my unfortunate circumstances. So here's the third question we might ask ourselves. Okay, I failed, but what elements of that failure were down to me, and what were down to outside influences? We might even break this down into percentages. I got one client to do this after feeling terrible that a romantic date didn't go as well as she'd hoped. At first, she totally and 100% blamed herself. But after I asked her to break it down, she felt that 30% of the date's lack of success had been due to the location of the date in a busy bar where they couldn't hear each other too well, and a whopping 40% had been down to her date not making much effort and giving monosyllabic responses. She then felt much better and less entirely to blame for the date not being all it could have been. In this way, we can start to see a perceived failure as feedback, which is, of course, a well-worn cliché, but it can be true nonetheless. A study published in the journal Anxiety, Stress and Coping, a publication which may or may not provide soporific bedtime reading, found the three best ways to deal with failure, plus five painful ones to avoid. So what did the researchers discover? It was found that acceptance, humour and reframing, that is, seeing the failure in a different way, are the three best ways of dealing with the everyday types of failure. The researchers had 149 people keep a diary for up to 2 weeks. They were asked to write about their most irritating failures throughout the day, how they coped with it, and how satisfied they felt at the end of each day. The researchers were interested to find that people use all kinds of spontaneous coping strategies when confronted with failure, but the results clearly showed which three techniques seemed to be most useful. The first is acceptance, which might include self-compassion. Second is positive reframing, looking for the positives anywhere you can, perhaps by looking at what has been done rather than what hasn't, or what parts of the experience did sort of work, and so on, seeing reality in flexible ways, as the researchers put it. And last, but not least, is humour. Actually, I feel that humour can be a particularly powerful way of appreciating a failure. When we look back on situations humorously, it's often what didn't work out as we expected that makes us laugh the most. In fact, comedy might even be defined as a punchline or outcome clashing with expectations, with laughter being the pleasant shock reaction of those clashed with expectations. Self-deprecation has its limits, of course, but it can be highly amusing if done in the right way. Certainly, British comedy sitcoms rely on failure as source material for humour. To laugh at failure sometimes shows a capacity to transcend a situation rather than just be swamped by it. Of course, sometimes it takes time to gain the perspective for the humour of a failed attempt to take shape in our minds. So to summarise again, when dealing with failure, we can accept the failure happened, reframe it where possible, and even laugh at any humour in it, which is, I guess, simply another way of reframing it. Professor Joachim Sturber, who led the study, said, and I'm quoting directly here, "The finding that positive reframing was helpful for students high in perfectionistic concerns is particularly important because it suggests that even people high in perfectionistic concerns who have a tendency to be dissatisfied no matter what they achieve are able to experience high levels of satisfaction if they use positive reframing when dealing with perceived failures." By contrast, the people in the study who didn't fare so well when they felt they'd failed employed very different responses. I hesitate to say they failed at failure, but in any case, they too had a tendency to deal with failure in particular ways. One is excessive self-blame. Two is denial, which might include not seeing the part we may have played in failure. Never seeing our own part in something can make us feel bitter and that we're simply a victim of other people and circumstances. Three is social support. I'm not sure exactly what the researchers meant by this, perhaps that when we always look to others for validation or comfort after a failure, we may not effectively deal with it independently. Four was venting, in other words, simply lamenting the failure or getting angry about it. And fifth was what the researchers called behavioural disengagement, which is a fancy term for moping about the failure and ruminating negatively about it rather than actually doing something useful about it. Participants who used these strategies felt worse at the end of the day than those who accepted the situation. Okay, it happened, and practiced self-compassion. Those who reframed the situation to look at it more flexibly and therefore differently, and those who found the humour in it. Now, granted, the failures studied weren't usually catastrophic ones, but ultimately even serious failures can perhaps eventually be seen through the lens of self-compassion and acceptance and reframed to some extent, even if there's no conceivable way humour can be found in the situation. But certainly for non-catastrophic failures, the three principles of acceptance, reframing and humour will hold good, I think, for a happier life and mitigate the sharp psychological self-harm of maladaptive perfectionism. Ultimately, failure may be a path to eventual success. To excessively fear failure may be to shun creativity and miss opportunities to learn and become truly wise. Anyway, I hope you found this interesting and useful, and to listen to other audio insights, check out the hypnosisdownloads.com member section, The Growth Zone. Members get access to all the products on the site, plus exclusive members-only downloads. To find out more, just go to hypnosisdownloads.com and click on the Join Us link at the top right. I'm Roger Elliott of Uncommon Knowledge. I hope you enjoyed this audio insight from hypnosisdownloads.com.